This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, man, it's Mike Bell. And normally Carl Dukes is my man Chris Turtle Thomas in for Carl today. Beautiful day, man. We saw some guys smoking some cigars outside today. Perfect day to be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Join the party, pal. Watch all the tournament action. We just had a very healthy lunch. Salmon here is unbelievable. We were just talking about it. We talked about it with James. We were up at the Twin Peaks in Chattanooga in East Ridge, Tennessee on Tuesday. Thanks to everybody who showed up there. And, you know, we always joke around, better ingredients, man. This stuff, where they source the salmon, it's like, if I could make the salmon taste like this at home, I'd make it every night. I mean, it's so good. It's good for you, too. Thank you.
But anyway, that's why you got to come here to get it.
It's so good. It's so good. Oh, it's good. Hey, man, we got plenty to dive into this hour, including talking to our man, D-Led. He was at Bama's Pro Day this week in Tuscaloosa. What do you had to see? Speaking of Bama, up in the Cleveland Regional, they just knocked off Robert Morris. Probably closer than Nate Oates would have wanted, but they win by 11, 91-80. Meanwhile, Memphis is up by 5 at the half against Colorado State. That's the closest thing really to an upset. Everything else is chalk right now in this Friday action.
Yeah, and Duke and Mount St. Mary's, we're going to have our eye on that one. They're going to tip off in about 7 minutes. I love how this time in the tournament, Mike, we get the random. It's like 3:09 will be tipping off. Yeah. 4:12 will be tipping off. North Carolina, speaking of, Ole Miss, that gets underway at 4:05. We'll see if North Carolina can continue there. How weird is it to call North Carolina a Cinderella story?
Right.
That's what they are this year.
Well, I mean, look, I said that nobody wanted them there. And then they just blew doors. And as we know, Coach used it. And nothing plays like the disrespect card at any level of sports, from Pop Warner all the way to the NFL. And the same goes for college hoops to the NBA. Hey, man, this hour of Dukes and Bell, guys, is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Right now, it's time to talk some NFL 4th-and-1. Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh. It has been confirmed. And now the question that Chris and I have been asking, is he going to sign on the line, which is dotted, or is he going to continue to, you know, monkey around with this? Where do you think it goes?
I think that this is easily, by far and away, the most logical fit for Aaron Rodgers. Because if he wants to win, if he wants to make up for what happened, atone for his sins in New York by letting that franchise down and essentially burning it to the ground, he's got to go to Pittsburgh. Because if you go to the Giants, if you go to the Browns, if you go to the Titans, you got zero shot to win. Now, Kirk Cousins, on the other hand, would go to any of those teams because he just needs to prove he could still be a starter. That's right. The difference between the two quarterbacks right now. But if Rodgers wants to win, he's got to go to Pittsburgh.
Pro Football Talk says a source, which, of course, Aaron Rodgers would say, who's the source? Does he know me? Is he friends with me? You have no friends. Anyway, his agent has been encouraging Aaron Rodgers to take his time, says the source to Pro Football Talk. So, look, I mean, there's only so many options. The Giants are a joke. The Browns, I don't think you win there. I mean, you do have a good nucleus, but I'd still think Pittsburgh is maybe the better. Although, you know what? If you look at the roster, Cleveland is just as good, you could argue, as Pittsburgh. They've just been missing because of the train wreck, and they don't have the money anyway for Aaron Rodgers' salary. That's why they'd love to swoop in for Kirk Cousins, probably at a tremendous discount, or just wait for us to cut him.
Yeah, I think that the addition or bringing back home of, whatever you want to call it, of Myles Garrett certainly helps the Browns' defense, but pillar to post, I think Pittsburgh has a top four defense in the entire NFL, and they just were the victim of circumstance as Mr. Unlimited turned back the clock until right. he didn't, and right. then essentially sunk the entire season for them.
Mr. So, Unlimited, that's
exactly.
Russell Wilson, who don't know the sound.
You ever done anything dangerous, Mike? if you plug Aaron Rodgers into the Steelers' offense, I think they're instantly a playoff contender.
I'm with you. I know, and we said it with Brian, and Brian agreed, it's time for the Steelers to get out of this first-round rut because they're not living up to the standard that the Steelers are supposed to be about. Hey, Albert Breer joined the morning shift today, guys. Talked about Kirk Cousins. We played some of those cuts earlier. Here he is on Trey Hendrickson. Now, we could find a way. I know we could make some money for that guy, as could probably half the NFL. But where is he going to go? Here's Albert Breer on the Bengals edge rusher.
That thing is very fluid. They were, I think, sort of had it in their heads that they were going to try to trade him. Now, that's been a little bit more difficult than they thought because the way they value him as a guy who's had 35 sacks over the last year is like, but you're going to have a hard time giving that guy away for a pick that's outside, say, the top 70 pick. On the flip side, if you're another team, you're looking at it and you're saying, he's 31 years old, he's going to need a new contract. And so is this worth going in on where you're giving up multiple assets, you're giving up that contract plus a pick in the first two rounds, and for the teams that have shown interest, that's a bridge too far. So you're sort of stuck there a little bit, and being stuck there bought them time to do the deals with the receivers, and now they're diving back in to see if they can find some sort of middle ground. I do think, like, to some degree, that the Neil Hunter deal in Houston, to give them a little bit of clarity, and that, okay, like, he got a deal at, I think it's 35.6 for the single-year extension. You know, maybe that gives them a little bit of clarity in what it should cost for them to get something done. You know, again, I think they'll try. I don't know if they'll be able to get something done. We'll see.
I mean, it's well documented. They can score 40 points and still lose games.
Yeah.
Without Trey Hendrickson, it's going to get even worse.
And that's another reason, potentially, why if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're thinking, we could be the second-best team in that division if we
right.
go there. We're
right.
better than Cincinnati. But when it comes to Hendrickson, Mike, I got three words. I don't care. You pay whatever it takes
right.
to get a guy like that in here. Because, Mike, should we say the cliche line again? He would be the best pass rusher this team has had since?
John Abraham. Yeah, consistently, because Vic Beasley was, you know, a one-off that 15-and-a-half year of the Super Bowl. I mean, I love it, and I think, as we said, Carl always says, don't get caught up on the cap. There's always a way. You know, whether it's restructuring, look at us, man. Now, after the last move we made, I guess we're around $13, $12
million. Something around there, yeah.
And for the guys who missed it yesterday, we picked up Spiro Agnew. The former vice president?
Or Spiro Dides, the CBS guy who's on the call right now? No, we picked up Jamal Agnew.
That's the Agnew.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Long-time return man. He's essentially going to be your Avery Williams
right.
replacement, but he's also a guy that could play a little receiver as well.
Right on. Another story we were talking about is, you know, Kirk Cousins, and where is he going to go? What are we going to do? If we can get a pick, that'd be great. If we have to wait, and we heard Albert Breer rewind, by the way, on the Odyssey app. You can catch the interview from the morning shift. He talked about it earlier, thinking that you just may have to wait this thing out, and hopefully, you know, you'll get a pick if you're lucky, maybe next year if not this year, and you're gonna have to eat 75% minimum of that contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sunk cost anyway, as we keep
to do
saying,
a deal. Most teams just wait for you to cut.
Yeah, which is not gonna happen. They're not gonna cut him.
No.
I think if they have to go through the entire season with him as the backup, I think at this point, Mike, they've made it abundantly clear that they're gonna do that. By their actions, by letting the $10 million bonus for next year kick in, by Terry Fontenot coming out to the media, not once but twice. We'll ask D-Led about it coming up in 5 minutes. We are comfortable with Kirk Cousins as the backup. Like, Mike, they couldn't have made it any clearer.
Right.
But people with rational brains like you and I are sitting here looking at it going, How, Sway? How are you going to keep this guy after what he did to the organization and how he's going to be a hovering ghost in the background for Michael Penix Jr.? But apparently, that's not how the Falcons are thinking about it.
Yeah, so again, it is, I know we use chicken, we use poker. You know, the metaphor is for how this thing is going to play out. But, I mean, you've got to have somebody. It takes two to tango. You've got to have a team. And I think Cleveland is still waiting for us to cut him. And I think they don't believe us. I don't think Cleveland believes. And, again, that's where this poker game plays out. Because I think Cleveland's the only place that Cousins can go. You think the Giants will do it?
I think.
I mean, hypothetically, they could. But, you know, I just don't see anybody giving us what you fans expect us to get.
Well, here's the thing. How much more do they think Aaron Rodgers could give them, or excuse me, Russell Wilson could give them over Kirk Cousins?
Right.
If they feel like it's comparable, I don't feel like they would make the move. But if they feel like what they saw from Kirk in the first half of the year is still in there, maybe they get desperate.
It is interesting because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to go in the Hall of Fame. We know that. But he's an egomaniac and obviously self-centered, and he's, you know, he just is what he is. You know, Russell Wilson is a phony by... This is from his own teammates. You know, it's been well documented. Toxic positivity was the phrase used in front of Denver, which I thought was funny. And then now we talk about Kirk Cousins. He's in the same boat. He's a bit of a phony. You know, that's an act. Kirk Cousins, that's a bit of an act, man. Just suck me in. Color me stupid. I got sucked in. I had the man crush going last summer. This guy's great. He talks to us. But he's nice.
But he wished you well on Twitter, Mike.
He did wish me well when I had my heart procedure. Look, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. Maybe he's just a guy who doesn't realize that, you know, walking around like doo-doo-doo with your head in the clouds, you know, sometimes the babe in the woods routine doesn't play. Like, oh, no, I wasn't hurt. Oh, no, I am hurt. That's a lie. There's a where which was truth, which was false, and when were you lying, and when were you telling the truth?
Do you think, let me ask you this.
I mean, that's part of being an adult.
Yes.
And your teammates, and this is why we heard Brian McFadden, you heard Ovi Mihaly yesterday. Teammates, this stuff does resonate. Now, I'm not saying a guy's going to hold a grudge, like someone's going to miss a block for him or something in a preseason game. But it just, like in the longest yard, the good one, not that Adam Sadler piece of crap. But, I mean, this is going to be interesting to see how that dynamic is handled if he's here in August.
So let me ask you this. The day before they go on...
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Network and make the proclamation that he was injured. Do you think he and his rep sat down and said, okay, we're going to do this, but we know the second those words leave your mouth, Kirk, you are persona non grata in Atlanta.
Yeah,
but again, do you think they said, we don't care?
Or again, but this is 2025. Maybe half this team doesn't give a flip. You know, maybe these guys go ahead. This is Kirk being Kirk, man. Like Manny being Manny back in the old days with the Red Sox. You know, hey, man, we got an expensive backup. It's good to know. Let's get on with it. And it's just, that's the way I know some fans feel, because I get those guys bombarding me and Carl on Twitter all the time. But that's what you've heard some pros. For the record, BMAC, OB, because I know some of you guys, I don't believe guys unless they played, so you hear it from them. Hey, man, one more story in the NFL, and this one I thought was interesting. The Saints signed Brandon Cooks, so they're trying to find some wide receiver help. It's a cheap option for them. It's like, all righty.
Well, that guy's one big hit from being out of the league. That's the problem with him.
Right.
He's had, like, four major concussions in his career.
And then Deion Sanders in an interview saying that Travis Hunter, why would you keep him off the field? And we talked with BMAC. I said the most receiving plays that Deion had when he was with the Cowboys was 36 in a season. So BMAC thinks it could be more than that, maybe 50. But it's all a matter of how adventurous your offensive coordinator, how your coaching staff is, how your general manager feels about using, you know, a dynamic player like Travis Hunter both ways.
I don't see it, I'm going to be honest, that much. NFL's just different.
I know.
The physicality of the league. The wear and tear that it takes on your body on a week-in, week-out basis, I see him being productive at both positions in the NFL, but not to the point where he becomes like the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL.
Right.
I don't see that happening.
Hey, man, that's our 4th and 1 here on Dukes of Bell, brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. I was talking earlier, started the show with a Carl Dukes-style pronouncement that you had to sit through, and thanks for your patience, that Georgia should have just called Rick Pitino 2 years ago and not get with a guy who didn't really distinguish himself the last few years at Florida and was out of Gainesville before they were going to fire him. And Mike White, a couple guys on my page and vibing with me. Gerald Wheeler, I thought this was a great text. He says, you got to treat each sport differently. Pitino to Georgia would have changed the direction of the program. Kirby Smart was perfect for football. Basketball runs down a different road. It's a great way to put it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though, Mikey, you can't go a decade in between tournament appearances.
Correct. And then get blown and get humiliated.
Right. That's the problem.
And then, I don't know how the athletic director feels about this. If Josh says, hey, man, yeah, you went to the tournament, you didn't do anything. Or are you going to say, hey, you beat St. John's, you beat Kentucky, you beat Florida, you got us back in the dance. Now build on it. Because I don't know how many alum you're going to pass the hat to feel like building on that if you want to go get some NIL money for transfer portal.
Well, that's the exact problem.
Because you just got smoked and embarrassed.
If they lost by 5, because the spread was 6.5. They lost by 5.
It's a joke.
Yeah, whatever. Not like that. No.
Not like this. As
not
I said.
Like
remember
that.
The Matrix? Not like this.
Not like this.
Hey, man, D-Led was in Tuscaloosa. That's right. I expense my gas on AJC. He's going to join us next, talk about the Falcons, what's going on, and also what he thinks about Alabama in the NFL. Next. Right now, one of our favorite people, favorite guests, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, fresh from a trip to Tuscaloosa. It is D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC covering the Falcons. Not sure a Bama player's in our future, D, but how they look over there, man?
Yeah, Milroe was showcased over there. They had him under control with his quarterback coach, Jordan Palmer. I wanted to show, trying to impress people that he's got some accuracy to throw at the NFL level. Then he ran a 4.3, 7.40, unofficial 4.37. It ended up being a 4.440. So he can run the ball, that's for sure. Now they want to know if they can put him in the offense and function as a NFL passer.
All right, D, when it comes to Jahad Campbell, he was in a sling. Does that take him out of the running for the Falcons?
No, I'm not sure. I got to see what the effects of it. He had a surgery, a shoulder surgery, labrum. I don't know how long those take, but, if you pick a 15, you're not trying to take damaged goods. So it may affect his draft status.
It's our man D-Led, guys, from the AJC. D, I know a lot of folks have been asking us, will we ever trade down historically? And it has nothing to do with how our GM approaches it, but we've always gone up. We got up for Desmond Trufant. We obviously went up big for Julio. We've never gone down. We went up for Ruka Ro last year. Do you see us? Now it takes two to tango. Do you think the Falcons would entertain trading down?
I think they will. And, and they also traded back into the first against Sam Baker and Caleb McGarry. So we got to keep an eye on that, too. But the reason why they would trade back is that they're supposedly just 12 players with first-round grades on them. And the guys from, 413 or 80 are about the same NFL-wise. Right. So you can get the same – you might be getting two of the same guys if you trade back and pick up picks. The only reason it makes sense is because they don't have the third they gave up for Judon, and they don't have the fifth that they lost in the tampering case.
D, when it comes to Jordan Fuller, who the Falcons just brought in, do you believe he's the day one starter, or are they still going to look for a potential upgrade?
Yeah, got to look for a young upgrade. He is a starter. He has started in the league more than 40 games, but no Pro Bowls, nothing outstanding. But, he's familiar with some of the coaches, and they'll be able to get him in place. And he's more of a strong safety, box safety. Ain't going to give you much coverage. But as of right now, he's in the starting lineup on the depth chart.
I think only twice in my 27 years of fandom as a Falcon fan have the Falcons done what I thought they were going to do. So, I mean, do you think they may go defensive tackle? I know we got a sort of a spackle on edge rush by bringing in Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, no doubt. But you can definitely see him go because the tackles are good, too. And Terry, his buzzword is pressure player. Although we all got to give ourselves credit. We knew they were drafting Sean Weatherspoon a few years back. We knew that was the play. But we'll take credit for that. But for everybody, everybody gets credit for that. But, yeah, the tackle could definitely be in play. Terry talks about pressure players. And if they think they can get the rush up the middle and push it out to Floyd, you know, we've heard all these theories on how you get pass rush. So, you know, they'll be able to tell us if the tackles, that kind of penetrating, Aaron Donald disruptive force that's going to be better than taking an edge rusher.
D, when it comes to center, we haven't really heard anything about Ryan Nuzeal. What's the latest you're hearing, and would they potentially go that route in the draft?
Yeah, well, he didn't stick out when he started. He started eight games. The right of first refusal is, you know, a moniker. If somebody wanted to come and give him more than $3.86 million, the Falcons will have the right to match. So if they think he's their center, they can keep him. You know, they could have put a first or second round tender on him, but they obviously felt the market wasn't going to be there for that. So they went with the lower one, and that's what, you know, he'll end up getting, you know, once the reserve period is over with, restricted period is over with.
Yeah, I know that we've said center's an important position, and I just thought, and as Chris's point, that Nuzeal certainly did a good job. We didn't complain about him. We weren't talking about him when he stepped in for Drew Dahlman. But, yeah, I just thought that might be something they'd address, and obviously you're not going to take a first or a second-round pick, I don't think, for a center, so we'll see how it plays out. What about McGarry? I asked this question of Obi yesterday, Obi Mihaly. You a little concerned, D, about him on the blind side now?
Yeah, for me, no doubt. You've seen people run around him too much. But I think they got Charlie Warner to help with the chip blocks over there. But when I asked Raheem about him being the blind side, they was trying to say, you know, hey, we play the pistol now. Everything's straight ahead. Shotgun, you know, the left side, right side isn't as important as it used to be. And, you know, I have problems moving off traditional fundamental concepts. And so I'm going to have to hear it to see that if that's the case. But they did sign Storm Norton's backup and Brandon Parker, Storm's backup. So they got four veteran tackles in the house right now. You know, things start going haywire.
D, what do you think the market is for Kirk Cousins right now? We've been hearing conflicting things over the last couple of days from different national NFL insiders reporting that the Falcons are the ones making calls or that the other teams are the ones making calls. We heard as high as a third-round pick be mentioned. What are you hearing in regards to his market?
It's still the same. It's the Russell Wilson situation. The contract's untradeable. Nobody's taking a trade. Nobody's getting a third-round pick. Nobody's giving you even a fifth-round pick. They're stuck with Kirk Cousins, and they know it. And so, you know, it's better than just get him away for nothing. They're holding onto him in case the circumstances change. The circumstances have not changed yet. Cleveland's not going to give you anything for him. You know, they're going on their way about, you know, Russell Wilson and other things. You've seen Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh today. I don't know what you know, where they're getting stuff from, but it hasn't changed. Nobody's traded for that contract. Falcons are stuck with that contract. They're not getting anything for Kurt. He's your backup quarterback, unless somebody, you know, I was telling my friend yesterday, I was like, hey, if Jared Goff goes down the second game, Lions think they got a Super Bowl team, you know, maybe you can get something in.
So we keep him. I get it. Carl's been saying he'll be here post-June 1. But how does that dynamic – we asked everybody, I just talked about it, Brian McFadden, OB yesterday, D was saying, man, that's a strange dynamic in the locker room. Some guys, of course, won't give a crap, but some guys will be like, what was this guy selling? You know, I'm not hurt. I didn't give you my best, and I kind of hurt the team. And then later to come back and say, oh, no, I was hurt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got some explaining to do to his teammates, but, you know, they always had his back last year, even while he was throwing the 9 interceptions. So he's got some cachet in the locker room, at least on the offensive side of the ball, for being a stand-up guy, even though this doesn't seem like some stand-up guy stuff right here.
Right, you know? Right.
So if Penix is balling out and Kurt's going about his business, just helping him get ready and, you know, running from the media like he did late last year and hiding and stuff, then nobody's going to care. But, if you know, the things start going haywire, they start holding out, you know, demanding a trade, and, you know, then you might have to cut them.
But, you know, for now, they think Kirk's going to be a pro about it. I think he got some explaining to do to the fans at the very least if he went out there playing hurt and jeopardized the season. You know, that's what happened. And, you know, the fans are owed an explanation for why he did that.
Dee, do you think there's any pressure on Terry and Raheem to change their draft strategy this time around because of where the state of the franchise is right now and with the failure to make the playoffs in Terry's regime? And what I mean by that is take the best player available on their board.
Oh, yeah, I think he sticks to that. I'm a proponent of that. I think they've done that for the most part. You know, picked over the guys that, you know, that was a problem for me. You know, of course, Bijan over Jalen Carter. That wasn't the best player available, but there were circumstances involved there. You build from the inside out. They've been trying to get tougher and bigger and faster up front. They got the pieces around, at least on offense, and you know, still got to work on the secondary. But you got to punch people in the mouth when you get in the playoffs. You saw what happened to the Vikings. You know, they were looking all good until they got punched in the mouth. Saw what the Eagles did to the Chiefs. You better be able to win up front. And, you know, they came with an intact line, but they haven't built up the defensive front yet.
It's our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter, the former president of the Football Writers Association of America. He's got juice. He joins us here on Dukes and Bell. Yeah, D, we didn't get a chance to debrief after Kyle Pitts or Kyle Pitts' people put out, hey, man, you know, last year was whatever, and then we're going to be working 10 times harder. He also said they prevailed. I don't know what the hell he prevailed at last year. I don't know if that was a good look for him, because immediately our fans are going, what the hell was that effort the last 4 years from Kyle Pitts?
Yeah. I'm like, Kyle, we just need to see you play some football. I don't really need no Instagram posts, you know. I don't need pictures of your food and all that stuff. Just come out here, play some football. It's a contract year. You got to play. You got to play your best. And so that should help the Falcons out. I don't really need that. I don't put much into these. Oh, I'm going harder. I'm going, you know, that supposedly was an issue in his rehab about how hard he did. And, you know, I don't like him coming across the middle, and he's the biggest thing out there, and he's not fighting for the ball in the middle of the field on them in-cutting routes. I want to see that. I want to see some toughness. I don't know about trying 10 times harder, but, you know, you need to go out and dominate like you did that game in Tampa last year with those deep balls and so forth. So, I don't want to hear anything from Kyle. Just go play football.
Obviously, D, we will revisit this conversation after the draft. But right now, the NFC South has improved, in my opinion. The Panthers have gotten better. The Bucs bring back a bunch of their guys. Baker's playing well. And we'll see what the Saints are. I think they're the wild card in this division. How much should the Falcons be looking in their rearview mirror?
Well, they were the second-place team. And, it came down to the end, and you had a quarterback that was throwing the ball to the other team for six, seven games there. You finished 2-6. So whatever you did in that first half of the season, you need to extend that and go longer and deeper. And, whatever happened on defense, you know, that you got rid of part of it with Jimmy Lake going. You got some veteran people on that staff now. You're going to have these players buy in. Those are the areas for improvement. You know, the defense has to get better, and the offense has to, you know, cut down the turnovers that, you know, Kirk was throwing last year. So it's not like they have a major, major rebuilding thing to do. But they got some very key football things. You know, got to get the pass rush going some kind of way. And you got to keep scoring points and running the football and not turning it over.
Hey, man, before we cut you loose, D, we were talking about Pitts, and it comes up every time. Is he being used properly? Zach Robinson. There's a learning curve for everybody in the sport. And I thought that, you know, Zach had to go through what he wasn't expecting with the Kirk Cousins soap opera you just talked about. How does the offense, does it change much with Penix Jr.? Does Zach evolve? Do things work differently at all? I mean, do we see Pitts in the seam more where Puka Nacua was for the Rams, and they get Drake outside, or more of the same?
No, I think it's got to be some change up. You know, whenever they would get behind the sticks, he would throw the screens. Then people started jumping the screen. And so he had to get off his screen. And then, down the field, I expect more stuff intermediate range, because Penix got, such a a big arm that I'm not expecting a lot of screens and short dink and dust stuff. I'm expecting to see Drake London on some 20-yard in cut, you know, and expecting to see Kyle Pitts up the field more. Kyle Pitts, for me, I've been waiting to see who was going to run the Cooper Kupp route for the Falcons. And Pitts seemed like a candidate for that, but they didn't get to that part of the offense last year. But I really expect him to diversify the routes as the season goes on. They didn't do that last year. You know, that's when you see four D-backs showing up at the ball. That means that they all saw the play on film.
Right.
So, you know, you gotta switch up about halfway through to, you know, make an in or out, make a stop or go. You know, you gotta flip the routes a little bit. So I'm expecting first-time coordinator to, you know that he's got to flip some stuff around as the season goes on. But he had a good first year, I thought, calling offense. Zach Robinson did.
Right. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Number one sports talk show in town on the number one sports talk station. Thanks to everybody coming out today. We got a nice house filled up with folks watching hoops here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Just talk to some nice dudes. Give a shout-out to guys with have cigars. I do have a Perdomo 30th anniversary Churchill in the car.
Very nice.
But it would be rude to be running in and out smoking a cigar during the show. That would be pretentious. Hey, man, we got plenty more to dive into, including some breaking news with the Hawks first, an update on the scoreboard. Nothing really shaken just yet. Memphis is in a bit of a dogfight with Colorado State. 10 minutes left, and certainly Penny and his guys are struggling. That's another 5-12. Saw Clemson fall to McNeese. We know about that. But it's 56-52 with 10 left. Meanwhile, Duke is in control, up 19 over Mount St. Mary's. Vandy and St. Mary's underway, and then we'll see what happens. But for the most part, it's been chalk today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to North Carolina and Ole Miss coming up at 4:05. I think North Carolina has a real shot in this one. They're actually favored, which I think is interesting, being in an 11 seed going up against a 6 seed. Just a small favorite at 1.5, but the total is 155.5, so expect a good game in that one. And then the other one, I want to see if Florida comes out and plays with their food at all, because I think they have a real shot to win it all. But again, you go up against a 16 seed. Some of these guys just come out cruising, Mike. They're favored by 28.5. I want to see how they respond.
Alabama, probably a bit closer than some people expected in the Robert Morris game.
Yes.
But they didn't hang on to win that one by 11. Hey, man, real quick, we get some news about Clint Capela. We'll get to Orne in just a sec. But we got big man out.
Yeah, it looks like Clint Capela has sustained an injury to the fourth metacarpal of his left hand.
Oh.
He will undergo rehab, surgery.
Is it like your knuckle or is a finger?
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Be reevaluated. He's going to be out at least 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
So Double O is going to have to stand up. Barlow, who's been playing pretty well. We know Clint's been a bench guy now for the second half of the season, but still, he's had some good games, and that rotation takes a hit.
All right, man. And we need to learn that Steph Curry's not making the trip on the East Coast with the Warriors as well, with his groin issue. Apparently the pelvis, Elvis, but there's no structural damage. It's a contusion. Hey, with that, I don't know if you ever had a contusion on his pelvis. If you did, what a show-off. It's Orin with some Yeah Man, No Man. It's Orin. What's up, Big O?
Have had contusions before, gentlemen. Have not had pelvic contusions before, so I guess I consider myself lucky. But
well, you're not doing it right then, Orin.
I guess I'm not contusing myself correctly, no, or getting contusions correctly.
Have you? This is kind of like the if there's kids in the car, earmuffs. But remember like what they say on the old days of the dating game, whoopee? Have you ever injured yourself making whoopee?
Making whoopee. Where was the craziest place you and your partner made whoopee?
In the Bob.
There you go, right there.
still classic. You'll find it on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah, just we know what you're saying when you say whoopee. Like it's you don't have to disguise that word.
Where's the craziest place you ever made whoopee?
Yeah.
By the way, where is the craziest place you ever made whoopee?
That's a conversation for a podcast, gentlemen.
That's a good question. Yeah.
Well, how about you, Big O? You're quite the boulevardier.
Yeah, I'm a family man now, Mike. I can't necessarily talk about those things on the radio. So.
Well, I can actually tell this story because my wife's big dental conference going. By the way, if you're a single guy, I mean, don't look at my wife, but there's a lot of dental people, hygienists. It's going on downtown. There's this big dental thing.
That used
goes
to be your favorite
year.
Time of the year, Mike. I remember you talking about this
when
thing
I was,
so positively.
Kid you not, in the old days. Remember, Tony LaRocca? Remember Fratelli, the Napoli Orin? Remember that? He hit the great bar downtown.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, Tony, we used to go down there and hit that and all those guys. And, oh, it's, yeah, it's, there was a time. There was a place downtown. This was the scene. It's a big dental convention, so you had all these people from all over the country. And I can tell you, I've been to some of these. My wife drags me to some of these. And these dental hygienists, some of these people let their hair down, man. It's unlike Donkey Kong.
I remember Target we were at Stats 1 year, and they were doing tournament games at Stats 1 year. And we kept seeing, you kept seeing all of these, like, attractive women walking around with the carrying suitcases. Like, what's going on? Oh, the dental hygienist convention's in town, yes.
Right. They have their lanyards. They're just coming down from the Omni. But I'm telling you, it's if you're down by the Hyatt or Hilton, anything downtown, it's a Target-rich environment with consenting adults. Don't be jerks. On that note, it's time for Yeah, Man, No, Man.
So, you know, have a little fun and get you a little goodie bag with some toothpaste and toothbrush afterwards.
I set it up. I didn't give you the payoff. Since my wife is busy in the middle of this dental convention, for me, the craziest place, the Roosevelt Island Tramway.
Wow.
That runs parallel with the bridge, 59th Street Bridge.
You got to make sure your timing's right on that one.
Oh, yes. When you're 18, you got plenty
show,
of time. Yeah, that's the tram that Stallone in the movie Nighthawks. The helicopter is right across with Wolfgar. Anyway, obscure movie reference back to you.
All right. On that note, gentlemen, we'll get back to some non-whoopee-related stories.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Fun props today, guys. Fun prop bets. Yesterday, we saw McNeese take down Clemson. And, of course, all today, we got Amir Khan, the sensation that is the McNeese basketball manager with the giant boombox and his NIL deals has been all over, just all over the world, all over media today. Courtesy of our good friends at Bet Online, we have some prop bets, gentlemen. On Amir Khan's next NIL deal. So he's got Buffalo Wild Wings right now, and I forgot what his other one is, but he's got two right. of those NIL deals. Coming in at 2-1 right now odds, Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, 4-1 Dunkin' Donuts, 5-1 Crystals, 6-1 Taco Bell, 7-1 Louisiana Staple, Raising Cane's.
That's Subway. Because they are Lake Charles, Louisiana. That's right.
There you go. Subway at 15-2, Waffle House at 10-1, and Domino's at 12-1.
So then, noticing a theme here. A
lot of food-related.
A lot of fast food.
Well, he looks like every team manager you've ever seen at every college you've ever been to.
Yeah.
He's got that look. It's like not to paint with a broad brush, but there's a producer uniform. You're wearing the shorts. You know, there's a look for producers. There's a look for team managers.
True.
Let's be honest. I don't think I've ever seen
it's comfort.
I don't think I've ever seen a producer that ever worked for me in a suit.
You're not
or a tucked-in shirt.
It's about being comfortable, right? Like, I'm not going to be on TV.
Probably.
I'm not going to be, you're not going to see me,
I've never seen Chris in long pants.
Well, one of the best perks of our job is that we can wear this.
No, I'm with you. I'm just saying. But there is a lifestyle being a radio producer.
Yeah,
like, there's a lifestyle being a team manager.
But, like, for example, my girlfriend's gotten me together a little bit over the past couple of months. She, whenever we go out, she makes sure that I look representative.
So what, do you have, like, a little cummerbund with your dress shorts?
You know what, Mike?
He's got a stripe down. Kind of like some. What do you like, Tommy Bahama shorts with a stripe down the side?
Yeah, man. Listen, if that's what she wants, I don't care.
No. I work real quick. Oren knows we work with a guy, Bo Bach. Bo's still kicking, by the way, for guys who remember from back in the day. Oren, he wore black sweatpants. He literally wore sweatpants every day.
And a black shirt. Sometimes the black shirt would have BoBach.com on it, just for fun there, yes. Ask me about my facts of the day.
We said that Bo was the world's oldest ninja. That was his look.
Wore black, and then he would wear flip-flops, some sort of very comfortable shoe.
But anyway, good for Amir, the young man from McNeese, because that's – and look, it's one thing if you have your hype man and you don't win, but when you pull off a great upset like that, it was really fun to watch. Sorry for Clemson fans, but they just had energy and juice coming right out of the locker room.
He'll share that story for the rest of his life, which is awesome.
Another fun prop bet for you guys here. We're going to have Arkansas and St. John's play the Calipari and Patino matchup in Kentucky, of all places there, yes.
Right.
Fun prop bet here, guys. Over under the number of times you hear the word Italian in that game. It is listed now as one, but the number.
Well, who's
of times,
got the call? Who's the play-by-play?
That's
who's
a very
the
play-by-play? Good question. I can look that up.
Because if you get white bread with mayonnaise, it's not going to say.
Oh
anything.
No, I think it's the guys who did the game last night, right? So that'd be Lapis and
okay,
yeah,
Lapis will definitely get into that. Maybe they break out a bottle of Chianti. There'll be a lot of Italian references, if not specific, the phrase Italian in a sentence. I'll say six.
That's a lot. I'll say,
you know, if it's a blowout, you got
to fill. Give me 3.5. And by the way, they just brought out onto the sets a live Tar Heel.
That's a goat.
A goat. Right. And it was on stage. That was interesting. Okay.
All right. Giving you the sights and sounds of the tournament right here live from Twin Peaks.
Also yesterday, too, with McNeese beating Clemson, a lot of the conversation after the game was about Will Wade. And his future plans have already been made known. He's going to be taking the NC State job. But the dialogue kind of shifted to the idea of, this is going on right now, but it's not really a private matter. It's public. So he was asked on the Field of 68 podcast after the win how he dealt with this being a public thing with his team going into the NCAA tournament.
You guys know. I mean, look, you interview for a job, and then your attorneys deal with their attorneys. It's not like I'm talking to people every day. I mean, we were in practice at Brown, and Mike Martin, who I've known since I was in the Ivy League, he came out in practice and said, what's up to him? He's like, hey, you know you're trending on Twitter. What the hell am I trending on Twitter for? He's like, oh, they said you took the NC State job. I was like, oh. And then I got back to my phone, I had like 300 text messages. And so, I mean, look, that had nothing to do with it. When we got that night, I stepped out and talked to the team. We had already talked on Saturday. And I mean, we're honest. I mean, shoot, half the kids I recruited, hey, look, the goal is to go Power 5 after this year, and some of you guys can go with me. And some of you guys, you know, I mean, so we all know what's up. And, I mean, our guys, this was great for them. They're going to have a lot of schools in their DMs tonight, too, looking to pick them up, pay them. So it's a good.
So, yeah, man, no, man, this actually being a benefit to both Will Wade and his players, that this is, you know, a chance for us to get more attention. And, you know, if you guys end up at NC State with me, even better.
Yeah, because now you can. That's the thing, Chris. You know, the old narrative of leaving the kids behind, and of course being a mid-major like, or whatever you, however you classify McNeese, small school, guys stick around for 3 or 4 years. Now you can go. Just like what happened to James Madison. He took who's that knucklehead? It took half the team to Indiana.
Oh, Kurt Cignetti.
Kurt Cignetti. Yeah. So I mean, that's you're right. It's a great way to put it. Now I'm going to get into Will Wade and his icky history and why Georgia should have made a more bold move with their hire 2 years ago. Coming up in the Dog Report. But yeah, It's an interesting angle because now, yes, you can take everybody or certainly a bunch of guys with you.
Well, here's my thing. That was a shockingly honest answer. And I thought he provided a lot of insight in the sense of he actually said what we all thought he would be thinking,
right,
which coaches never do.
Right. Well, Bruce Pearl's one of the first guys to tell it like it is,
yeah.
You know, and Pitino does. Calipari does, you know. Sometimes it's a little silly, but he does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not a big Will Wade fan, but you can't argue with the results. And, you know, the way things look, think about this. He got in trouble in Louisiana. Now, they didn't invent corruption in Louisiana, but they damn well perfected it over the last 150 years. And it's amazing that you think about how much you have to screw up to get in trouble in that state. We know from the football program. But either way, he lands on his feet after a couple of years in the wilderness, i.e., up the road in Lake Charles.
All right, gentlemen, on that note, let's go ahead and get up on out of here.
Good stuff from our man, Oren. Carl's out in Vegas. Oh, Carl got my bet in. I didn't go heavy. I just gave him $20 for whatever the odds were for St. John's because no one sees them getting past Florida in that region because they wind up maybe going as far as the Elite Eight.
You getting a little soft on us, Mike?
No, I just went for the Johnnies. I mean, I didn't do my C-note like I normally do. I put 100 on the Falcons this year. I did do that. So I'm looking at $6,000 at 60-1. So I make $6,000 on that bet. And I always love these guys when I put that. I didn't. You know, you can't post a ticket because some idiot will snapshot and get the barcode. And if I actually do win the bet, they'll take my money. But I did make the bet this year. I get these guys, just give me $100. What are you going to do for it? Hey, man, we'll come back. Why Georgia blew it 2 years ago? We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.